Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What is good, everybody? This is your boy, Christopher Kidd. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CKIDD206, and that's CKID206. We have a brand new episode for you guys, all powered by The Athletic. You guys all know where you can follow Mike on Twitter, but he's actually down in L.A., man. So, Mike, what is really good?
Seahawks keep losing, so that's not good for business. But other than that, we're doing all
right. Speaking of losing, yes, the Seahawks have lost two straight games, and I would say it's not looking good. And they have one more huge challenge coming this Thursday against the Cardinals. But going back to the game on Sunday against the Rams, Russ did not play the way I thought he would respond after having a bad game last week against the Bills.
Yeah, well, there's so many layers to usually, like, a game that, you know, a team loses, you can point fingers at, you know, every little thing that didn't go right, whether it's the refs or the coaches or the defense, the offense, the quarterback. Today is actually pretty freaking simple. It's probably about the simplest explanation for a loss that we've had all year. Russ didn't play good enough. Like, it really, really is that simple. The guy, the most important, most highest paid, maybe arguably the most talented guy on the field, was not good enough. He turned it over three times. And I think we talked about this, Chris, with his other turnovers. Like, all turnovers are not created equal, right? Like, there's some turnovers that are just like, it's whatever, like an arm punt or, yeah, I don't know. There's just certain situations where a turnover isn't the worst thing in the world. It's bad, but it's not like a backbreaker. Russ keeps having these backbreakers, man. I mean, today, when he had three today, he fumbled, what, at midfield? And what, a two-score game through a pick and a two-score game when they're trying to come back in the fourth quarter. Just inexplicably threw the ball across the field in the first quarter. And then that we talked about the ones in Buffalo and Arizona that were, like, in the end zone a couple times. Nearly got one pick sixth. Twice. Actually had two that were returned, like, inside the 10-yard line on his interceptions. Like, Russ is legitimately having Jameis Winston-type performances with these turnovers, and that may sound like hyperbole, but, I mean, in Seattle's three losses, Russ has 10 turnovers. He has 7 turnovers in the last two games. Now, obviously, he's better than Jameis Winston. He's better than, like, a Daniel Jones or a Carson Wentz, some other, like, turnover-prone QBs. But if we just isolate these two, you know, last two games, he's been no better than a Kirk Cousins. He's been no better than, I don't know, Chris, who else is like a volatile guy in that way? Like, he's been no better than a Nick Foles, been no better than a Jameis. Like, he's going out there and just throwing the MVP to the other team. And there's a lot of things that Seattle can overcome as a team. I believe it. They can overcome a bad defense. I legitimately believe that. They can overcome a coach with an antiquated offensive philosophy. I've seen it. They can overcome receivers who can't get open consistently. They can overcome running backs who can't hold on to the rock. It can overcome an O-line that can't pass block. What they cannot overcome is Russell Wilson coming up short. That's the one thing that is impossible really to overcome, at least this version of the Seahawks.
And we've talked about Russell coming up short, and we've also mentioned, is this a possibility that Russ can continue the play that we saw week one, week two, week three, where he was lighting up the defense? And it was met with probably not, but as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, the Seahawks are going to put up points. And ultimately, we witnessed on Sunday a game in which the Seahawks scored only 16 points, but Russ also had three big turnovers. And you mentioned what those turnovers had led to, and it didn't help. The Seahawks were hurt by what Russ was doing today, and ultimately it cost him the game. His inability to create plays downfield, which we're so accustomed to. His first interception, it should have been just a simple run by Russ, getting down, sliding, and getting a first down. Unfortunately, he felt that he can complete a pass to Disley on a beautiful design play, but unfortunately the defender was able to jump the route and make a huge play, an interception in the end zone for a touchback. These are things that Russ is going to have to improve on. Again, for Thursday, another shutdown corner in Peterson. And I'm hoping Russ, the Seahawks don't lose three straight, because losing this game coming up on Thursday Night Football would be detrimental to the season, I think. I mean, it would just be like, wow, they've lost three straight. How can they bounce back from that, right? I mean, you look at the schedule, it does get a lot easier, but if the pass defense is going to come, if we're going to see the pass defense, what we saw with Josh Allen, that's not a good sign. But the good news also, the good news I would say would be the fact that the defense today on Sunday showed up for the most part and was able to have Jared Goff, they turned it over for at least once, right? Jared Goff, he had a fumble, Jamal Adams got into the backfield and created a play. But that has to be something that's done consistently. Can the Seahawks defense consistently move forward, and do we expect Russ to play the way Russ is capable of playing, where he throws two or three touchdowns with no turnovers? Because that's what I'm accustomed to seeing. How about you, Mike?
Well, I don't even want to – the defense did his job. Like, for what I'm – you know, like, they gave up 17 points in the first half and six in the second half. That'll get it done, you know, more often than not. Like, you don't even need really a great offense to score 24. Or even, you know, force overtime, whatever, score 23. No, actually, you want to win, so 24. You don't even need a great offense. Score 24 points, right? You really don't. You just need like a decent one. And with Russ, they have a really, really good one. Like, so it's not even about the defense for me. I don't even like, I was worried at first in the first half, and then I was like, then they figured it out in the second half. So who knows what they'll be. And they're also playing with like DJ Reed, playing 5'9", playing left cornerback. PA had a 5'9" corner out there playing, you know, out there on the boundary side for so long. I don't think he's ever had that. So there were just, I didn't expect their defense to play that well, and they outperformed my expectations, if we're being honest.
Yeah,
it's on Russ. It's on Russ, man. It comes back to it. So I know people are gonna been asking me, and they're probably gonna keep asking: is Russ hurt? Is something up? Is he trying too hard? Because you know the defense it hasn't been playing well, and he thinks he needs to do everything. I don't think. No, he's not hurt. So I made some calls. He ain't hurt. He fine. At least if he is hurt, he ain't telling nobody. Right? So he's fine. He's healthy. I don't think him worried about the defense is meaning he has to do too much. If anything, I would say this. The thing that maybe could have some legs, and even though this is probably like 3% of the issue with Russ, maybe like 5% max. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I do think it's probably slightly a factor, is him, you know, coming out of his shell. I'm like, yo, I want to win MVP. I want to be all – I want to – you know, I'm the best. I want to be the best. Like, that's my goal. I don't wake up, you know, I don't wake up looking for second place, right? He basically turned into Ricky Bobby's dad. Like, yo, if you ain't first, you're last. Maybe that is getting in his head a little bit. But, like, if the reason I don't want to buy too much into that, it's like, okay, then they're screwed if that's the case. Like, if you wanting to be good at your job is making you bad at your job, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, like, a good rationale, you know? No one should feel good about Russ playing poorly because he wants to play well. That's terrible. You know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would hope he's not getting in his own head. But I would also point out to the fact that he's not perfect. Patrick Mahomes is probably the closest thing we've seen to just week in and week out, he's dominating. And I don't know how he did it. Ultimately, they lost the Super Bowl that season, but he comes back and wins it the next year. Russ is not perfect. He's going to make mistakes, and we've seen it back-to-back weeks where he's made these same mistakes, and I mean by turning over the football. I believe that Russ will bounce back, but it's also up to the defense now. We saw the defense play well on Sunday. They have to now continue that success, and if you've seen the highlights of the game with the Cardinals, you realize DeAndre Hopkins is a bad, bad man, and you're going to have you're going to miss Shaquille Griffin most likely again this week. Quentin Dunbar, he's probably going to be out for some time. The margin of error is very slim. And with the injuries and with everything going on, it's just making it that much more of a challenge. But if any team can bounce back and do it, it would be the Seahawks team. And you got to believe in Russell Wilson, right? He is your starting quarterback. They paid him the big dollars. He's been showing it for the most part. He's having a bad moment at this point in time of the season, but you can't lose faith in that guy. And I hope people aren't losing faith in Russell Wilson, because I'm sure you got a lot of tweets. I got a few tweets today like, what the hell is going on with Russ? And to be honest, I really don't have an answer for you, but maybe we should just give credit to these other teams and defenses that are making plays. We talked about it off wax about the corner that jumped that interception. That was just a great play. It was a tight end out, and he read it perfectly. Russ zipped it in there, but the defender made a great play. That might be the interception where you say, you tilt your hat to the defense and say, he made a phenomenal play. Of course, we have to go back and watch all the other interceptions to see what went wrong. But sometimes you got to give a little nod to the defense, and maybe that's what we're seeing right now. Defenses have game plan for Russ. If they can blanket the wide receivers and get pressure, they know Russ is going to dance around and try to create something, and ultimately that creates maybe too much of a problem, and that results in a turnover, a sack, just a negative play.
Well, see, here's the problem, though, with that is if the defense is game planning for you means you start turning the ball over, you're not a good player. Then it's just the bottom line, right? Like, that's just a fact, right? Like, I mean, Carson Wentz probably feel the same way. It's like, yeah, well, the defense is keep game planning for me, so I turn it over. Right? Well, that means you stink, right? Like, does Russ stink? No. But that's why I'm not really – willing to make, like, there's so many things that could be wrong right now, but I don't want to add the extras to it. I just can't, because otherwise when you simplify them, like, it makes it look even worse. It's like, oh yeah, no, the defense is blitzing a lot, so Russ turning it over. It's like, well, dude, if you start turning it over when teams pressure you, you're not good. Like, you're legitimately not. Like, you need, if you want to be great, and that's the other thing, I hold Russ in high regard because he holds himself that way.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm placing these expectations on Nick Mullins, right? Like, I'm placing them on a guy who wants to be the best ever. So, okay, cool. Dude, like, we didn't talk much about DK yet. Russ and DK, according to Russell, talk every day about, wanting to be great, right? They want to be great. They want to be the best wide receiver, quarterback pairing in the league, or ever, not in the league, all time, which is, a very high bar, and I'm cool with aspiring for greatness. I will never tell two black men not to aspire to be the best ever, right? Do that. But the problem with that is you got to live up to that, brother. And that's not maybe every week y'all got to connect for 200 yards, but they're legitimately letting dudes scheme them out of the game. Like, where was DK today? Like, I Twitter searched DK's name just like after the game when I was walking in my car. And the first thing that came up was like one of those missing, milk carton, like, have you seen me type things on the back for DK, because he was just gone. Like, the first half and most of the game, he's had, against Patrick Peterson and Jalen Ramsey this year, I think DK has 4 catches for, oh, damn, here I go doing math on the show. Damn it. What's 28 plus 21? Whatever that is, that's what DK has on 4 catches, I believe, against Patrick Peterson and Jalen Ramsey. That's not good enough. You don't have to go off against those dudes. And if we're going to hype you up, if I'm going to hype you up again, you beat up on Emmanuel Mosley, we're going to hype you up after you dog Stephon Gilmore, we're going to have to come for you if you do not deliver against the other elite dudes. Because that's really what makes you great, right?
Yeah.
I think someone asked me what he's like ranked or something like that. Is DK top 5 or whatever? DK has gotten to the point where if you guard him with one dude, you're probably screwed. I might have to walk that back. Right, like if they can just guard you with Patrick Peterson, and they can just guard you with Jalen Ramsey, you got that dude, right? Because that's the difference between like a D-hop or an Antonio Brown, and you know, or whoever, you know, Odell, some of these other dudes who have had, like, arguably been the best dude in the league, even a Michael Thomas. If you put one dude on him, you're screwed. I thought DK was there, but the evidence is mounting in the other direction. And if Patrick shuts him down again on Thursday, then we're looking at a lot of examples to point to, like, okay, these dudes have figured you out. Like, you can be guarded and taken out of a game. So, like, yeah, there could be some coaching things. They're playing shorthanded. They play backup center today. Defenses, yeah, we'll make some good plays. But if you want to be great, you need to be better than those defenders. Like, look at the dudes picking him off outside of Patrick Peterson. It's not like a bunch of Hall of Famers are getting the best of Russ. I don't know who the hell he threw to pick to that first one against Buffalo. I legitimately have no, I don't even remember who he threw it to, right? So, Russell's just got to be better than this. He can't be a Jameis type. He can't be a Jimmy Garoppolo type. He can't have a Kirk Cousins brain fart game, you know, like. He can't go out there and have 7 turnovers in 2 weeks. That's Daniel Jones type of behavior, man. I think Daniel Jones won today.
They did.
Like, yeah, he just can't do that, you know? Like, it comes down to that and nothing else but that, at least today. And it, like, in the 3 games they lost, 10 turnovers, they ain't never going to win if Russ is averaging 3 turnovers in their loss.
Yeah.
Right. And that sense doesn't make a lot of sense, but you get what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. The 3 losses, I would say, are to good teams. And defensively, or I should say offensively, the Seahawks face probably the best defense they're going to face all season, to be honest. They're going to see the Rams again in December. You got Arizona on Thursday. Their defense is pretty solid. But the Rams are the best defense they are going to face. And this is a good matchup for them to see what works and what doesn't work. You mentioned DK being shut out. Even if for Russell Wilson to have conversations with DK about being the best duo, you got to give your receiver a chance. He had 4 targets on Sunday, only 4. And I'm sure I'm going to go back and watch what was going on and see that Russ didn't even look his direction. And that can't be the case. I know there's an all-pro corner over there, but you got to at least test it, right?
I mean, wisely. Yeah, there was like 1 or 2 times where I thought DK was there. And, you know, because like I said, I'm at the game, so I can see. There's a couple of times he's definitely there, and Russ didn't see it. And Russ admitted, like, hey, we had some plays for him, but they dropped coverage underneath it, or, you know, I got pressure, or something happened. And, yeah, like, I'm not willing to just be like, oh, yeah, no, the defense, you're playing good defenses, so you're not playing well. That's the thing. Russ, the Seahawks are not asking Russ to be perfect.
Correct.
They're not asking him to not be the reason they lose the game, right, which is a big difference, right? If Russ just goes out there and doesn't have turnovers in the end zone, let's go with this. He turned it over in the end zone against the Cardinals. I don't even really remember what
it was. Buddha, what score, oh, okay. I see.
I'm saying, I don't remember what the score was at the time, but like, let's just say they get a field goal. Okay, cool. Let's see. They turned it over against the Bills. Let's say they just get a field goal, right? Which they could have done because it was 4th and 1 from the 5. I don't know why everyone's pretending like he had to throw it in the end zone. He did not. You get 1 yard, you get a first down. It's pretty simple. That math I'm comfortable doing on the show. let's see, the other one today, it was like 2nd down. Like, even if you guys just get a field goal right there, it's a lot better than what he ended up doing. So it's like Russ doesn't need to be perfect. They're not asking him to be. They're asking him not to just be, you know, to have disastrous turnovers, right? One of those turnovers that he had against the Bills, Trey White took it back to like the 2. What's the defense supposed to do with that? Of course he gave up a touchdown. Throw the 2. You know, a great defense wouldn't be able to overcome that because teams in the NFL are too good, and they get in the goal line, they score. So I think I don't know if this is a full-on narrative right now. This is probably my last thing on it. If there's any narrative that, like, Russell is being asked to be perfect or score every time, that's why, you know, he's pressing and trying too hard. They're not asking him to be perfect. Perfect is like what he was against, what, like Dallas, right? Or like even for the most part against New England. I know he threw a pick 6, but that was Greg Olsen's fault. You know, perfect is like kind of what he was against the Falcons.
Yeah.
Like, they're not asking him to do that every week. Like he didn't need to do that every week. What he needs to do is if you're gonna go out there and be the guy wants to be MVP, don't have these backbreaking turnovers while the team's trying to mount comebacks. Don't fumble it. don't take bad delay of game penalties. You just watch the clock tick away. I was in the stadium. The lights are bright as hell. You can see the clock ticking down in big yellow lights. Hey, man, it's at one. Call a timeout, right? So I didn't even see him try to call a timeout on that delay of game and then threw a pick right after that. So there's Russ is, it's not about Russ be Superman. At this point, that's just unrealistic and unfair, even if I used to think he was ready to handle that. It's basically about, hey, Russ, just do your job, and then we'll be fine. And right now, he's not doing that.
Yeah, just do your job. Do your part. Do what you had been doing prior to, I would say, the Buffalo game when everything just kind of went sideways offensively. You got out of character with the turnovers. Perhaps one turnover, I understand, but the way he's been turning over, it's just been bad. And he has to find himself and do it quickly because ultimately the test is coming. The test is here. How are you going to bounce back now? That's the bigger question. And to DK, you just got him and DK got to find something out. I mean, you saw Ty Lockett. He was pretty productive today, although it didn't amount to much of anything. There was a throw to actually DK. Russ just put a little too much on there. Maybe he was worried about Aaron Donald. Maybe he was thinking about it too much because 9 times out of 10, Russ drops that in there perfectly. And we have either a huge play where it's first and goal or DK is able to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I think Jamal Adams alluded to it. Maybe the good thing about football is you got another opportunity the next week,
yep.
Like, unless you lose in the playoffs. Yeah, it comes up quick. It's coming up real quick. Thursday night, they're going to be ready. Well, I can't guarantee they're going to be ready. I have to make some calls. I haven't really hit nobody up lately. But, now they got a chance in a few days to get right. The problem is Arizona ain't no scrub, right? And they're the only team to consistently scheme DK out. And you know Tyler ain't gonna have 200 yards again. You just know he's not. They're just gonna try to fix that too. But they gotta do something, man. Like, they can't just continue. Russ can't continue to be bad. He can't. If these guys want to be great, they can't allow another team to just shut them out of a game. Russ ain't thrown a touchdown pass against a Sean McVay team since Tedrick Thompson was starting. Like, oh, come on, man. That's a long time ago. Like, since they've traded for Jalen Ramsey, Russ ain't thrown a touchdown. Inexcusable. Inexcusable. That kind of lets me know that Russ was basically just torching, like, Marcus Peters. That was the issue. The issue in L.A. was Marcus Peters. I know he's done touchdowns on other people besides Marcus, but as soon as they dump Marcus and put Aqib Talib on IR and fire Wade Phillips, they've boom. They figured Russ out. Like, that can't be the case. If you're going to be great, there can't be anyone who can figure you out. So we'll see what happens, because if Arizona figures him out, then, Chris, we're going to be slamming that panic button, now, not just the defense, on the guy who wants to be MVP.
Yes. Basically, it comes down, Russ got to be better. DK Metcalf and Russ, no matter what's going on, you got to give the guy a chance. And now we got to get to Twitter questions, Mike. Are you ready?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? you need Indeed.
Yeah, let's roll. Let's roll. This should be fun.
All right. To get things started, this is from Ben. Can the Seahawks realistically win the next five games and be 11-3?
Well, we're jumping right into the rest of the season, huh? Okay. Realistically, can the Seahawks win the next five games? Yes. I'm gonna break down what's being asked here for people who don't have the schedule in front of them. You're basically asking me, Mike. You're asking Mike and Chris, hey, can the Seahawks beat Arizona at home? Can they
go to Philly?
Can they go to Philly and beat the mighty Carson Wentz's, which of course they can? Can they beat Daniel Jones? Can they beat whatever the hell the Jets are doing at that time? And can they beat the Washington No Names? Realistically, sure. Like the odds of that, I'm not sure what those would be. But is it possible? Yes. Do I think it'll happen? No. They'll probably lose one of those. But yeah, they could. If those are the next five, those are the next five, right, Chris? We have that right.
Yeah. So and then, Arizona.
And then after that, they play the Rams and then 49ers to end the season.
Yep. You got it.
Okay. So yeah, could they do that? Sure, man. Of course. That's possible. Do I think they will? Probably not. But they should definitely. The Thursday night game will be a toss-up. It depends on who's healthy. Like, they need Chris Carson or Carlos or Shaq, Quentin, Ethan, somebody, Benson. Like, they need somebody back from those starters. But I think those other four, those should all be guineas. They should blow out those other teams.
This one's from Red. Red Rider. Do the Seahawks make the playoffs?
Wow, we got doom and gloom. Yeah, man, seven teams get in. I mean, what do you think, Chris? What would be the worst record to get in? 9-7? I think 9-7 will get you in. Let me look at the playoff picture right now while I got this in front of me. Who's the 8 seed right now? But yes, the Seahawks are gonna make the playoffs. Seven teams get in. Like, it'd be real hard to make the playoffs. I think they should. At worst case scenario is like 10-6. Worst case scenario is you lose. Oh damn, nah. I think they're gonna go like 10-6 or something. 10-6, 11-5. I guess worst case is like 9-7, which means no. I think they can go 10-6. I think they'll beat all those bad teams, right? Jets, Giants, Philly, and Washington. There's 10 right there. They already got 6. So then yeah, they would just lose. Problem with that is they would lose their division.
Yeah, they've already.
I think they'll beat the Niners though too again in that second one. So yeah, no, I have faith in them making the playoffs.
This comes from your cousin. How much trouble can owners get in for withholding or canceling game checks?
Oh my goodness, yo, my guy is wild. Jody Allen just gave Pete Carroll a 5-year extension, and I think Pete Carroll. I know coach contracts aren't public. I think Pete makes like 8 figures, man. Pete's on one of them like Nick Saban deals. That man ain't about. She ain't about to hold them checks from dude. She just gave dude a 5-year extension. Oh, the 7 seed right now. I don't know why I said 8 seed. That's my bad. The 7 seed right now actually is Seattle. Seattle's the 7 seed. Chicago is the 8 at 5-4. So yeah, Seattle will still be in the playoffs right now. So they'll make the playoffs for sure. But nah, man. Nah, because Demetrius, Jody ain't about to just stop paying Pete after a couple losses. She just gave him the bag.
This one's from Mike. Seattle has some great tight end options this season, and the short game is not reliable. Why?
No, I disagree with the idea that the short game is not reliable. I think it's there. It's just harder for it to be there when the defense knows it's coming. It's definitely, but like, DK has some short stuff. Tyler catches a lot of short stuff and just falls right down. Greg Olsen's usually been good at moving the sticks, which I even think he had a couple first down catches today, or at least one. So no, it's there. I think what's changing in that regard, and it's not to make excuse for them, I think teams are actually doing a really good job in those short yardage situations with their blitzes there. So with a blitz, the good thing about blitzing is if you take away the first read, the guy usually doesn't have a chance to go to the next one. So I think that's happening a little bit. But no, their short stuff is there. It's when you take away their explosive plays, which Seattle really struggles. Like, what was the longest play today? The ball over the middle to Disley. They didn't hit many. Maybe there was that flea flicker to Tyler. That was probably actually the longest one. But they just didn't have they didn't have the explosive stuff. That's the more unreliable part, to be honest. It ain't the short stuff.
How is the offense going to counterpunch the counterpunches defenses have given them after a few games worth of tape on Skybox Shotty?
I don't think they figured out Shotty, man. We just spent like whatever, however long, just talking about, you know, Russ. I think that's what they've kind of, that's what they didn't do. Like, Shotty ain't really called nothing that's put Russ in a bad position. I don't think he's calling any, like, I don't think he's called a bad game. Have we talked about Shotty calling a bad game? I can't remember ever leaving a game and being like, yo, you know, Shotty really wasn't on his stuff that game. I think he's been solid. And even some of the stuff that teams are doing to scheme up, like DK and whatever, I still think a lot of that falls on the players too. Like, make a play. If you're Russ, give your guy a chance, right? If you can just randomly force the ball to Will Dissly across the field, you can definitely force it to DK. Like, I can definitely live with that. I think everyone else can too. Like, if Russ is just like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna just throw it to DK $15 for that, no matter what. Hey, man. Everybody probably cool with that, you know, unless you got like Tyler Lockett in fantasy.
Nick, why is Pete such a coward? It defies logic and statistics when they punt it.
Man, yeah, I mean, what game did we say that after, Chris? I was like, if the Seahawks cross midfield and punt, it's stupid. I can't remember what game. Maybe it was Minnesota. I honestly can't remember, but I still believe that. That's kind of my stance right now. Like, if the Seahawks cross midfield, just go for it. Like, today was a really good example, and I don't want to get into the weeds of it, but Pete sounded like he wanted the analytics nerds to get off his lawn today. Like, he sounded like the oldest coach in the league. His thought process on this stuff is just so bad to me. It's not even the result. Don't play the result. You have to have a good process. Today, he said, if you're arguing that because we have a high-scoring offense that we should have went for it in that situation, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, Pete, that's stupid. That makes sense to literally everyone else. Your offense is good. Leave them on the field. That's a very simple premise. Our offense scores, so if we leave them off on the field, they're likely to score. Or, at the very least, they're likely to do good things because a high-scoring offense does good things. Ball, even if it's not always just scoring, you know, good yards per play, stuff like that. So that's part one of why his processing is very poor. The other part of it, his trust in the defense is just it's so inconsistent. Like today, did you watch his Zoom today, Chris?
Yeah, I was on there.
Yeah, so like he was asked, like, okay, dude, man, why would you trust this defense? They haven't earned it. They haven't been given the benefit of the doubt. Something I've written about and we've talked about on the show. And Pete's like, well, I mean, I trusted them because we don't just think the other team's just going to score when we punt. And it's like, okay, cool, Pete, if that's your thought, right? You're trusting them because you think the other team is not going to score right here if you punt it. Fine. Then why not go for it? Because even if you do not get it, you're trusting your defense to get a stop. What did Pete say? He's like, well, imagine if they scored after we failed on fourth down. Like, dude, what do you mean imagine if they score? You just told us imagine if they won't, right? That's the thing. The trust in the defense, it's inconsistent, and it leads to inconsistent processes. The only argument he possibly has in this specific scenario today, I'm sure everyone watched the game and knows what situation we're talking about. The only other argument he has, well, the field position is different. The difference between giving them the ball at the 42 or wherever they were at versus wherever Michael Dixon pinned the punt. I'm sure it was within their own 10 or something like that. The problem is, Chris, how many plays did it take the Rams to get right back to where they would have been if they didn't get the fourth? Like four? Three, maybe? They marched right up and down the field. So it didn't make a difference, right? With this particular defense, you can't flip the field. There's no such thing as flipping the field against this defense. They're probably going to give up yards, and they're probably going to give up points. Like, you just have to assume that and keep your offense on the field about as often as humanly possible.
We talk about players, coaches, and coordinators, but does any responsibility fall on John Schneider for who we have for play personnel, more specifically offensive line and defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, Schneider and Pete definitely – they control the personnel, so they're at fault for sure. I think they've had some really big whiffs early in the draft, and we've talked about that. We talk about that every year. Jordan Brooks is at least starting, so that's good. But how often do you notice LJ Collier? Right, like Marquise Blair, that's not his their fault. If that's a second round pick, who hasn't really been playing? I can't remember what round Cody Barton is. He might be second round, but they immediately took another dude at his position the next year, so that's not great. They refused to draft corners higher than 90. So that's not great. Shaq's their highest corner pick ever, depending on how you want to classify Marquise Blair, who I consider they drafted him as a safety. So I think it's definitely their fault there. The Daryl Taylor thing, I don't know how much is like of that is the issue in terms of selecting him versus how much they should have known his leg was bad. I don't know. I'd have to dig a little bit more into that. But generally speaking, yeah, they haven't reloaded on defense through the draft. They've done it through trades, but their drafting has not been good. Shaq's the only Pro Bowler they've drafted since Bobby, I want to say. I think he's in between drafting Bobby and drafting Shaq. I don't think there's another drafting of a defensive Pro Bowler. That's pretty bad.
Yeah,
that should tell you all you need to know right there.
Everyone's got negatives, but do you guys see any positives in the development of a guy you just mentioned in Jordan Brooks, Damian Lewis, LJ Collier? And how are guys like Reed, DJ Reed that is, and Ryan Neal looking now that Neal has passed his fast start?
Ooh, okay. There's two parts to that question. I'm going to make sure I answer them both. So the first part, Jordan Brooks, LJ Collier, and Damian Lewis was the three guys asked about, so three young guys, two rookies. Lewis, feel good about, probably needs to be a little better in pass protection. Good run blocker, solid starter, future's bright. Jordan Brooks, getting there. I see some flashes here and there. Like, I don't think he's going to be a bad player. I think he'll be solid. Like I can see, he's starting now, and I don't see it as it like, oh, man, they got Jordan Brooks out there. They're screwed. LJ, I do feel concerned about that one because Pete Carroll likes to make this point with some guys, like whether it's Jamal or Ugo or just a lot of guys on defense. He says something like, you know, you can really feel him. Like, he was out there. You could tell he was out there. He showed up. He says that a lot. I don't ever really remember leaving a game thinking, wow, man, LJ played good today. Right? It's not just because he didn't have sacks or whatever. Like, I leave some game thinking, oh, man, Puna was good today without getting a sack. Puna had a sack today. That's not the point. There's games where I've left and like, wow, man, Puna was all over the place. Right? I feel that. Ugo, I even said that about. Jamal, I've said that about. Quentin Dunbar, Trey Flowers, I've said that about. I don't remember saying that about LJ, and I think that's a problem with the first round pick. I should feel that way at some point. Now, it's only the end. We're midway through his second year, so there's time, but I don't think he should have taken this long for a guy drafted that high. When you're drafted that high, the expectations are different versus like Allen Robinson can just flash, and it's like, okay, cool. Fifth round pick. You're playing with house money. John Arsua or like a late round David Moore, Trey, the late round guys can flash. Early round guys, I need to consistently see you showing up, and we haven't had that from LJ. The back half of that question, if I'm right, Chris, is how are Ryan Neal and DJ Reed doing? Is that right?
You got it.
Okay. So Ryan Neal and DJ Reed are both kind of in the same boat. Small sample size, but I think everyone will kind of agree with where I'm going with this. They're basically the type of players where if they have to start, your team's not screwed. Like, your team is not, like, at the same level. And it definitely didn't get better by inserting them in as replacements. But you're definitely not screwed. Like, you should still expect to perform well. Your unit should be fine, right? You should expect that. Like, maybe they'll make a play here or there. They'll make a mistake here or there. But they're, like, replacement-level dudes at their respective spots, right? And that's probably the best you can hope for. Like, what are we talking about here? An undrafted dude and, like, a day three pick, I think DJ Reed was fourth or fifth round. So yeah, that's probably about what you could expect. I don't expect much more out of them. I think if you were like relying on them, like you entered your season like, yep, what could we got Ryan at this spot, DJ at this spot, I do think your defense is probably going to ultimately suffer. But if you're just asking these guys to fill in for so and so for a game or two here and there, like I don't think they're incapable of that. So yeah, you're not screwed if you put them out there. But they're not maybe your long-term options.
Our next question comes from Nicholas. How do you think Seattle should use Jamal Adams? Feels like a guy like Shaquem could perform similarly given the same responsibilities.
No. He's a different player than Shaquem. They're using Jamal just fine, I think. Like, they're using him to, like, cover people he can actually cover. You know, tight ends, running backs. They're using him to blitz. Using him to run support. I mean, what's it? Didn't Jamal have two sacks today? Or did he just have one? No, Jamal had two sacks today.
Yeah, he had two.
Yeah, Jamal had a strip sack. He had been looking like an edge defender. No, Jamal's a good player. Like he mentioned today, he was out there playing on a bum shoulder, which I could tell he got pancaked by Gerald Everett. And that messed his shoulder up bad. But, like we say on the show, if you're out there, you got to perform. No, Jamal ain't the use of Jamal is not the problem. I don't think. I really don't. I think they have some issues elsewhere. Like, against the Bills, they just decided not to cover Stephon Diggs. Problem. Right? I'm trying to think of the other times. Against the Patriots, Quandre Diggs gets ejected. And it's like, oh, let's just not cover the middle of the field. Problem. But, like, I don't think Jamal's usage. I mean, he's. What does he have? Like, five sacks this season or something?
Five and a half. Yeah.
It's five and a half in five games?
Insane.
Yeah, man. Jamal's being used just fine. He ain't a problem.
Victor, he's asking, is the unavailability of Chris Carson and a threatening running game forcing play action and making it more predictable for defenses who expect the pass on most downs?
No. Okay, I get where you're going with that question, but here's the thing. It's all about when you, the reason I let Russ cook, I always thought was the way to go, is because it's not about how often you run the ball. It's just how good are you at the thing when you do it. And the problem with not having Chris Carson is that when they hand it to whoever they're handing it to that's not Chris, good things are not happening. That's it. Whether it's DJ or Travis or Alex Collins, here, I'll put it this way. Remember how I just said your team ain't screwed if DJ Reed or Ryan Neal is out to start? That is not true of the guys they have at running back. Your running game is screwed if you're asked to start Alex Collins. Your running game is screwed if you're asked to start DJ Dallas. Your running game is screwed if you're asked to start Travis Homer. He's to be your guy. Like, yeah, they may get in the end zone. Like, DJ's got in the end zone. He had, like, a pretty solid day running the ball against Buffalo. But what did he run it, like, seven times? It was fine for the most part. But that was, like, his only good game running the ball. That is their problem at running back. They don't have replacement-level running backs. The only time they've had that, I thought, was Mike Davis, who was still performing well in Carolina. So I don't think it's about predictability or being one-dimensional or something by not having Chris. It's just the fact that when Russ turns and hands it to somebody, they ain't capable of turning up. That's just it. And until Chris and Carlos get back, and even then, I think they need Chris more than anything. Until Chris is back, that's going to be the case. The run game will continue to not be.
The homie Ryan drops in for a question. How do you manage communicating your attempts to discover accountability from the players and or staff? Pete is forever optimistic. Russ has litany of canned responses to all questions. Do you feel like they take sincere accountability? Keep killing it. Appreciate the love, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I for sure think they take sincere accountability. I mean, even today, look at Russ. Russ today was like, I got to be better. It starts with me. There's no one else but me. He's right. The turnovers are his fault, right? Like the Greg Olsen one earlier in the year, not his fault. The rest, his fault. I know DK took the blame on the Miami one, but no, that's Russ's fault too. I think Russ for sure does. And I think Pete does too, for the most part. Like Pete, like, you know, like even after the Dunbar game was bad against Buffalo, he was like, look, we gotta, you know, he said it was a tough game on him, but we gotta do a better job of helping him out, right? Like, that's just what he said. Pete does a good job in a lot of ways of that, taking accountability. Doesn't really defer it, even if I don't like the wording of stuff. Like, even if, like when people were asking, like, oh, let's fire Shoddy after week one, or after year one, Pete was like, don't point the finger at me. I'm in charge. Even this year, people ask about Ken Norton. Pete's come out in press conference and be like, no, I control the defense too. Like, I'm in charge. If it's Ken's fault, it's my fault too. I do think it's sincere. Now, here's the thing, Chris. I do think there's a disconnect between the players. No, excuse me, the players, coaches, and the fans. Fans want the players to come out here and effectively say, we stink. We're screwed. Woe is us. And they just won't do that, right? They have to be optimistic. Jamal Adams has to come out and say, guys, we're going to turn this around. He can't come out here and say, I don't know what we're going to do. We stink, right? Like, that doesn't work. That's just not a championship mindset. say that in Jacksonville or the Jets or whatever. Say that in Cleveland. In Seattle, you just can't have that mindset. And if you do, you definitely can't say it out loud, right? That's just not how that's going to work. So for me, I don't necessarily have to dig and see like where the accountability comes from. I have, but not necessarily with those like the big figureheads. Like I've dug on some stuff on like, oh, communication issues and things like that. But when people like Russ or even Jamal has been really sincere, or Bobby, guys are pretty frank when they're underperforming. Like, I bet you DK, when we talked to him on like Wednesday or Thursday this week, or it won't be Thursday, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we talk to DK, shoot, maybe it's Monday. Whenever we talk to him, I bet you he blames himself for not showing up against Patrick and Jalen. Like, this is what he's going to do. And so I do think fans need to recognize the disconnect. Like, teams aren't just going to come here and say, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do, guys. We stink. This guy's trash. They can't talk like that. At least not in front of us. You know, like, they have to say, hey, we're going to be better. I think we're going to turn this thing around. Pete has to be an optimist. Like, imagine if Pete was a pessimist, right? That wouldn't make any sense for people. Like, I don't know, guys. Shoot, I'm in charge, but I don't know. This coaching thing's hard. No, man, then he'd be Bill O'Brien, right? He'd get thrown out the door. He'd be Adam Gase. He'd be all these bad coaches who are going to get fired. He's an optimist. He believes in his guys and believes in himself. That's how he got here in life. So they're never going to be as doom and gloom or, you know, woe is me as much as, like, the fans are, you know, when they're drinking, tweeting me that, you know, this team stinks and the Pete extension was a mistake.
Last one comes from Scott. Russell Wilson has struggled these past four games with turnovers, mainly interceptions, and has made questionable decisions in forcing throws and coverage. Is he pressing too much with these turnovers? Has the defense pressured him more?
I don't think the pressure's getting into him. Like, you look at somebody's turnovers, man, he's not even getting pressured that much. The fumbles are a little different. The two fumbles against Buffalo, clearly he was getting pressured. But, I mean, they're quarterback. Hold on to the ball, dude. I mean, that's the same stuff I get on, like, a guy like Daniel Jones about or whoever, Kyle Allen. Hold on to the ball. That's your job. Literally your job, hold on to the ball. Let's see here. I don't know about pressing, because here's the thing about Russ, right? Whenever Russ takes the field, he's like, we got to score, Tristan. It's not like they go out there like, if we don't score, and at the end of the world, he's like, no, it's first and 10. Let's get a first down. Blah, 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 let's score. Like, that's just kind of how Russ thinks. I don't necessarily think it's in Russ's, like, mind to necessarily think the defense is trash. I have to do everything. Because even, like, earlier in the season, the defense wasn't performing well, but he's seen them deliver even if they're not. Like the Minnesota game, the Dallas game, the Cowboys game. Like, he's seen them deliver, even the Dolphins game. He's seen them deliver enough to know that, like, hey, even if they're just going to get a bunch of yards, they just got to make a couple plays here and there, and then we'll be fine. Like, I don't think he's in that mindset. I legitimately just think he's just making mistakes. Sometimes people do that. I understand why people are asking us this stuff. Because if it's like there must be something else wrong for us to be playing this way. And maybe there is, but I don't have the answer to that off top. Maybe I can try and text Russ. I don't have his number, but I can try and get it. But no, I just think he's playing like crap, and he needs to quit if these guys want to win a championship.
Well, we want to thank everyone out there for rocking with us and answering Twitter questions. We appreciate all the love and support. Mike, is there anything else you want to add before we shake?
No, I just appreciate you guys. Showing love. Can't wait to get back home. Keep sending us love with the Twitter questions. If nothing else, we'll hear from you guys on Thursday night, you know, after another big must-win game against the Cardinals.
There you have it. It's been another episode of Seahawks Man to Man. Make sure to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And we are basically everywhere you can find podcasts. We will catch you guys later. We are out. Always tripping when you come to cut you out, like right now. You see, I don't have to drive me. If you say that for your mama, maybe you should smoke something. Try the marijuana.